Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Now, I got to give my next guest a lot of credit. All right? My first time talking to him. So, every night, just about every night, my son likes to wake up at all hours, 11 o'clock, 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning. It gets very, very frustrating, and I need to be patient. And what I do is I listen to things. I listen a lot to Howard Stern, who is the all-time great, and I started to try to discover other things that can calm me down. And I like this guy. I discovered him. As if no one's ever heard of him. Trust me, I know I didn't discover you, but I started listening to this guy probably a few weeks ago, or maybe longer than that, a few months ago, and I enjoy him. And that's a guy named Kevin O'Connor. He's a writer for and a podcaster for The Ringer. I was listening to his analysis the other day with Bill Simmons. So, Kevin, I will start off by saying thank you, because at times it can be very frustrating at 2 in the morning, and I like hearing you talk about the NBA. You helped me put my son to sleep. So, first of all, Kevin, thank you very much.
Well, thank you so much for the kind words. I'm glad I could be of assistance at 2 a.m.
Yeah, keep it up, all right, because God knows when this stage of life is going to end with him. I think he's going to continue to do it for a very long time. Give me, because my initial reaction when the whole Kawhi trade went down was to not knee-jerk it and say, well, Popovich is a genius. He knows what he's doing. My knee-jerk reaction is, well, they're kind of spinning their wheels. I mean, I like DeMar DeRozan, but what are they going to win in a Western Conference that features the Warriors and even LeBron in L.A.? And I would have been more excited for them if they really blew it up. What did you think first on that spur end of things that we knew they were going to trade Kawhi, and that's what they ended up doing?
Well, I also would have been extremely excited if they blew it up, you know, traded Kawhi and Aldridge and had a young team and tried to build through the draft. However, I do really like what they did. I think DeMar DeRozan, as flawed as he is, right, he's a below-average defender, sometimes a really bad defender. His three-point shot is below-average as well. But he did improve last year as a playmaker. I think there's still room for him to get better in that area as well. And maybe under the Spurs, he can reach another level with a team that won 47 games last year. It does have some other young, nice players on their team, like DeJounte Murray, Lonnie Walker, Derek White. They have some youth, and they did pick up a pick. Granted, it's protected. I think the way I look at it is it gives them a little bit more time. They can compete for the next 1 to 2 years. But then maybe after that, entering the 2020s, then maybe then it's time to enter a rebuild. But now they can try to maximize the next couple of years.
And you know, it feels like that's what Pop's thinking. He's probably thinking, I want to coach for a few more years. I don't want to be coaching a rebuilding team. I want to try to win.
Yeah, absolutely. I was texting with an executive yesterday, and I said, well, maybe it'll turn out to be the wrong decision if they added a player that helps him now. Helps them now rather than later. And he said to me, he's like, they are wrong doing that, but Pop has earned the right over the last 20 years to finish out the way he wants to.
Yeah, and I get this feeling, and it bothers me, even though it shouldn't, because I root for a garbage franchise. I'm a Nets fan, all right? So you understand where I'm at.
Hey, they're getting better.
They are, and I'm happy about that. I mean, look, the Nets built a championship-caliber team in Boston, so obviously they've done something right. They were able to do that very successfully. But I see this a lot with Belichick and Pop, and they're great. I'm not trying to rip them. But anytime they make a questionable decision, we get the, oh, they're so smart. Well, smart guys can sometimes make bad decisions. It doesn't mean Belichick isn't an all-time great. It doesn't mean Pop isn't an all-time great. I get the sense from a lot of people that they're just going to say, well, it's Pop, so it's got to be halfway. It's got to be good because it's Pop. Sometimes it's not good even if it is Pop, right?
Oh, for sure. I mean, nobody is exempt from making mistakes, right? Belichick has made mistakes in his career. You know, you can go back to, like, the famous 4th-and-2 decision. You never mind Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl. Great coaches and great decision-makers are capable of making fatal mistakes. And you know what? This could turn out to be a mistake for the Spurs. DeRozan might never improve his three-pointer. He may never improve defensively. In the next 2 years, they could just be, like, a high 40s win team with really no title aspirations. And then they could lose DeRozan and Aldridge when those guys hit free agency in a couple of years. That could easily end up happening. But the flip side to it for them is, as well, they won 47 games last year when Kawhi only played 9 of them. Maybe DeMar DeRozan, an All-NBA player, does continue getting better as he has. And then maybe you're looking like when he becomes a free agent in 2020, you're looking like, hey, we have a foundational player to continue winning and continue building around. And maybe at that point, who knows, maybe it's somebody pops one of their young players like Lonnie Walker, or they get a guy in the draft, or they end up flipping DeMar DeRozan a couple years from now for draft picks. There's a lot of paths for them.
Right.
And a big mistake is certainly one of them, though.
Sure. We're talking to Kevin O'Connor, writer, podcaster for The Ringer. Do you think Masai Ujiri kind of secretly says to himself, I don't really care if Kawhi leaves? It gives me now another excuse for why I want to blow it up, because he wanted to blow it up 5 years ago. He wanted to trade Kyle Lowry. So isn't this almost a secret? Hey, if he stays, great, I have Kawhi. But if he leaves, beautiful, let's blow this bad boy up.
I think it's for sure. It's like for them, they are trading 2 or 3 years of DeMar DeRozan for maybe just one year of Kawhi Leonard. And in their view, and I would agree with it, that their chances of winning a title are better than with that 1 year of Kawhi than 2 or 3 years of DeMar DeRozan. It's good. Yeah. And for them, it's like you said, Ujiri has admitted, he admitted at the 2017 Sloan Schwartz Analytics Conference that when he first took the job, that they were looking to trade some of the players that they had on their team from the prior regime. So moving forward, it's like, this is a 1 year gamble. And if you keep them, great, you have one of the top players in the game. And if you lose them, well, time to jumpstart the rebuild 1 year ahead of time instead of waiting for the following season.
What are you hearing about Kawhi? Is he going to report? I mean, is he actually going to be motivated to play basketball for a year? Or is he potentially going to pull the same crap we saw this past year in San Antonio?
Well, I guess Ujiri is actually having his press conference right now.
And, oh, really?
I do think that Kawhi will report, and whether he's happy or not, well, that remains to be seen. He could be happy, then get unhappy, or he could start off unhappy and then learn to love the place, having, you know, a whole country behind him. Who really knows? Like, everybody says, like, he'll leave, you know, Paul George aside to stay in Oklahoma City. Kawhi could, too, and that's true, or Kawhi could actually just be dead set on going somewhere else. I do think he's going to report, though, and actually give it a real effort, as he should.
All right, here's what's happening right now in New York. It's slowly starting to build. We are falling into the same trap we fell into 8 years ago. Knick fans are daydreaming. I'm daydreaming. Me and the 7 other Net fans are daydreaming. 2 max spots. We're going to get this guy. We're going to get that guy. Do you see the Knicks and Nets actually a year from now hitting the grand slam home runs, you know, really doing well in free agency? Or does this continue to be an endless pipe dream that we have in this town?
I think at some point it has to become a destination for both the Nets and the Knicks. I think you look at those rosters, and there's certainly reason for optimism. I really believe that, you know, despite how sad it's been the past 5-plus years for both franchises, I think there's reasons for optimism moving forward. Obviously, Kristaps Porzingis with the Knicks, health for him is the key thing. But there's other nice players like Kevin Knox and Frank Ntilikina. You have, obviously, Mitchell Robinson in the second round as well. And then for the Nets, they have some nice young players, too. They just drafted Musa and Kurich in the second round. D'Angelo Russell, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, Jared Allen. They have a good head coach, a good front office. And the Nets can potentially create up to 2 max slots next summer. Or have those for the 2020 summer the following year. And a year where there may be fewer teams with cap space to create the 2 max slots, that suddenly becomes pretty appealing when you look at the big market and the infrastructure they have with their front office and staff for the Nets.
Now, by listening to you, I've learned a few things about you. You're very good with this draft. You follow these guys very closely. The other thing I'm not sure about, I have a guess. I don't know what team you root for, but I get the sense you're a Celtic fan. Is that accurate?
I grew up a Celtics fan, but it changes over the years. And I see, this is the way I could describe it. I see like the Facebook memory statuses from like 2010, 2009. That was a Celtics fan. And that's not me anymore.
So you're like a professional journalist now. You don't have a team.
Yeah.
You just watch it. All right.
It changes. It's really weird how it happens, but I'm not a Celtics fan anymore.
All right. So you're not going to laugh in the misery of the fact that the Nets built the Celtics into a very good team. You're not going to laugh at me about that.
Well, it's remarkable that happened. And I think I think it's impressive what the Nets have done, though, to build back from that with this new front office. Yeah. It's pretty amazing.
No, I think Marks has done a very good job. I mean, he really is. There's a very low bar because he came in with nothing. But considering the situation, he's done a very nice job. And, you know, we'll see what it turns into. But from a college standpoint, for the Knick fans out there, what was your impression going into the draft concerning Kevin Knox and even what you took out of what you saw in the summer league from Kevin Knox?
With Kevin Knox, he was a guy that I personally feel like I underrated for the duration of the season. Then around, you know, mid-May, late May, early June, like during a reevaluation process, it's like, oh, wait a minute. This dude is 18 years old, one of the youngest players in the draft, explosive, can create off the dribble, 6'9", 6'10", long, athletic, defended well at the high school level. Kentucky situation was weird. It's like, huh, this guy's a lot better than I first gave him credit for. And I think that happened with a lot of NBA teams as well, which explained his rise. There was interest from 7 to 9, and obviously he went to the Knicks. I think Kevin Knox, as he showed in summer league, he could be a dynamic scorer who perfectly complements Kristaps Porzingis, playing him at the 3 or the 4 with multi-positional ability in the defensive end. Knox can do a lot of things. The key really is going to be, what level does that jumper reach? Does he become a great shooter or a good shooter? But the ability for him to be a go-to scoring presence is pretty apparent.
The state of this league right now is interesting to me. The offseason is a juggernaut, right? Everybody cares about the NBA in early July with all the craziness that's going on. The ratings were up. So it's a healthy, healthy sport. There's no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. But then in the other breath, it feels as if it's a one-team league, especially even more today with the Warriors. With that said, what's your impression on the state of this league right now? Because in one breath, it's doing really well. But then in the other breath, you got a lot of casual fans. My producer, you spoke to, is one of those, you know, he's not like you and I. He doesn't really care about the NBA. But you need those people, right? You got to get them to watch. And he looks at the sport and says, why do I care? The Warriors are going to win. Why do I care? So with that as the backdrop, what's your thought on the state of this league right now?
Well, I personally love basketball right now more than I ever have. I think the league, one of the reasons why it's thriving is because it just has not so many even great players. There's a lot of interesting players, from Giannis Antetokounmpo, LeBron James, and Kevin Durant, the star-level players. But there's also just a lot of, I think, interesting people in the league, too, that I think it makes it more of almost like an invested relationship, like a friendship with the league more than ever. And part of that's social media, and part of that's, you know, the media has grown to that extent where we're following these guys like every day. But it's also just the fact, I think it goes both ways. It's the people, but also the players, in the sense that it's more about the journey right now. It's not just about that end destination. And I wrote about this after game 4 of the finals, after the sweep, and I was thinking to myself, you know, these teams, the stakes have just been raised to beat Golden State, right?
Yeah.
Like, we're going to try to see other teams try to raise the bar that it takes to win a title, and that could lead to some really tremendous series. I mean, it's unfortunate Chris Paul got hurt for the Houston Rockets, but they may have beaten Golden State, and we wouldn't be having this type of conversation if Chris Paul hadn't gotten hurt.
Oh, yeah.
And we could see a repeat of that next May as well.
By the way, because you said it, that Masai's having his press conference right now. I'm reading right now on Twitter, David Aldridge, Tim Bontemps, said he opened it by basically apologizing to DeMar DeRozan for the lack of communication. And we could tell by that DeRozan Instagram post recently that bothered him. And I'll tell you, I felt bad. I mean, I love the trade on their end, but, you know, there are humans involved. And this is a guy who really embraced being the guy in Toronto and being one of those guys who spends his whole career with one team. So I did feel bad for DeRozan with the way it was handled, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because you're right. It's humans involved. It's emotion. It's, you know, him having to uproot his entire life from Toronto and now go to a new city in San Antonio. Like, it's sad. And yet at the same time, it's like, it's also a business.
Yep.
And if you're Masai Ujiri, the last thing that you can have happen is for this to get to DeMar DeRozan and somehow for the whole thing to unravel, which it could have. And that's your fear if you're in that decision-making position. Then it sucks, but that's also just the nature of the business.
No, you're right. Hey, Kevin, I appreciate you coming on. I enjoy the work. Keep me entertained while I'm rocking my son to sleep. All right, man?
Thank you so much. Thank Good you, chatting
pal.
With you.
Thank you, man. Kevin O'Connor, he works for The Ringer, does a podcast, does some writing, and does a really good job covering the NBA. Very entertaining. Yeah, so Masai Ujiri apologizing to DeMar DeRozan. DeMar has done so much for this organization. When you're in my position, you always have to be open with what you can do. Both of us had a conversation, and me and DeMar know what that conversation was. Maybe I could have handled it better. That's what I'm apologizing for. It's tough, man. I get why he's upset, though. You know, we always get on the player for their free agent decisions, right? Oh, where's the loyalty? You know, it works both ways. It really does. Here's a guy who loved that place, loved that city, loved being there, loved being a Raptor. I guess he's told you're going to be here, and then all of a sudden he's traded. So for the Spur fan out there, don't worry. I think he's going to love San Antonio. I think he's going to be great. I think it was just the initial shock of, really? You're trading me?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.